The title of the message is, We Need the Great I Am. We need the Great I Am. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures that it doesn't really matter what generation we are or what continent we're from. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about Old Testament or New Testament. When we start talking about the Great I Am of the Bible, we are talking about God. God in the Old Testament and God in the New Testament. And the reality is, every person, young and old, we all need the Lord. We need Christ in our lives. I'm going to read to you first Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And here we find Moses being commanded by God. Look with me there. I'm not there yet. I thought I was there. Then I looked down and I wasn't. There we are. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. It says, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And so we find God speaking to Moses, and he told Moses, I want you to go to the children of Israel, and I want you to tell them that I need them to do this and this, and the one who is sending you is I am. And I am that I am. And that is actually a name of God. It's referencing who he is. When we come to the New Testament, turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I'm going to read to you verses 54 down through 58. It says, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We find the Lord Jesus Christ connecting himself by his own testimony, in his own words, to the I am of the Old Testament. He says to them, Listen, I have been ever since before Abraham, because Christ is God in the flesh. And they said to him, How is that possible? You're not even 50 years old, and yet you say you know Abraham. And he says, No, I simply am I am the God of all time, the true and living God, Jehovah God. And so when we look at this text, we are reminded that we need that God, I am. The Gospel of John is the one odd gospel of the four. The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they take the life of Christ and they follow a very clear plane, all of them. John, he breaks the model a little bit and he gives us different glimpses of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John wrote the gospel about 30 years after the synoptic gospels were written. By the time he wrote the Gospel of John, all the other apostles had already been martyred. John is the only one of the apostles alive at that time. The Gospel of Matthew teaches us that Christ is the king. Gospel of Mark teaches us that Jesus Christ is the servant. Gospel of Luke the physician, taught us and teaches us that Jesus Christ is all man as well as all God. But when you come to the Gospel of John over and over again, the theme is that Jesus Christ is God. So when we start talking about that you and I need the great I am, we're really talking about we all need God. When I was over in Portugal and over in Spain the last couple of weeks, touching base with the missionaries and going to see the new works they had planted, as you go to these cities, it is just so glaring that they need God. No different than you and I. We need God. We need the great I am. We need Him because we as a people, the human race, are spiritually hungry. We see it all around the world as people clamor to find something to fulfill what is lacking inside of them. Maybe they seek it in wealth. Maybe they seek it in power. Maybe they seek it in drugs. Maybe they seek it in alcohol. Maybe they seek it in sex or relationships. But they're looking to fill a void. They are hungry. When we look in the Gospel of John, John touches on each one of these subjects. The fact that we are spiritually hungry, the fact that we live in a dark world, the fact that we need to enter a doorway to God, the fact that human beings need truth, and the fact that we need spiritual sustenance. John touches upon all of these, and he connects them through the theme of I am. In fact, if you'll go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 6, I'll show you in verses 33 on down how that he reveals to us that we are hungry and we need the bread of life. Look with me at John chapter 6. We'll pick it up at verse 33. It says, "For the bread of life is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And of course, he's not talking about physical hunger and physical thirst. He's talking about spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. And you and I, as well as all those that are around the world, we know that we need that bread of life. We need that sustenance that can only come from God. We need the great I am to give us that bread that will make us never hungry again. So that we're not searching, we're not looking, we're not turning up every rock looking for another morsel of spiritual food, but instead we come to Christ and we find in Him the bread of life and the water of life. He knows that no matter whether we are Americans, Mexicans, Chinese, Iraqis, it doesn't matter who we are, we need the bread of life. We need that great I am. As we come down through John, turn with me over to John chapter 8, verse 12. And here we find John talking about the fact that we live in a dark world. It's a sinful world. It's a world that does not see the light of God, the revelation of truth in God. We come down to John 8, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So when Christ uses that phrase, I am, he says, I am the light of the world. There are many people throughout this world who go through dark days spiritually. They wonder, where is hope? Where is the breath of life that gives me joy? They look at everything through glasses that are shadowed because they've not yet come to the light of Christ. When you look at chapter 8, verse 12, Christ really gives to us a broad understanding of what he offers when he offers to pierce the darkness of this world. Listen again to verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." He wants us to understand that he gives us that hope to pierce through the darkness of this world and to see that there is light, to help us to understand that there's something that pierces the shadows, the scary shadows of life. Many people go through life always wondering, will I make it to heaven? Is there a heaven? Is there a God who cares for my soul? And Jesus says, wait a minute, I am the light that will pierce the darkness of those questions, that you might see that, yes, there is a heaven as well as a hell. Yes, there is a God that loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, there is a God who cares about me as an individual, cares about me personally. That's why Jesus said to them, listen, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He opens up that world of understanding in a dark and mysterious world, and he brings to us light. But look what he goes on to say. He says to you and I, but we shall have the light of life. Now that's an interesting turn of phrase for Christ to use. When he says to us that he's going to give us the light of life, he's saying to us that the opposite of the light of life is the darkness of death. The scriptures teach us that when we are not in Christ, we are in the shackles of sin. We are yet dead while we are alive. It is Christ that ushers into us a light of life. Now, that's a mystery to us all before we come to Christ. But after we come to Christ, all of a sudden our perspective, our perception changes, and life takes on a whole new light. We see things differently. That's why Christ said that when we receive him as our Savior, old things pass away and all things become new. And in fact, he called it being born again. Because all of a sudden, a whole new light comes to our life. We see things differently. We experience things differently. We care differently. We all of a sudden treat people differently. We go to work differently. We pay our bills differently. Our ethics change. Our morality changes. All because God has shined a new light within our hearts on our entire life. We change. That's why Christ calls it being born again. So as we come down through the text, come with me to John chapter 10. As John continues with the theme that Christ is God, he is the great I am, and he offers to us this spiritual food, he offers to us this new light, he does so as the doorway to heaven. Look with me at John chapter 10, and I'm going to read to you verses 7, 8, and 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus says, I am the door. He is the doorway to the great I am. He is the doorway to God. He is the doorway to eternal life. And he likens it unto a shepherd. And he likens it unto a door into the sheepfold. You and I as sheep, and I hate to break the news to you, but sheep are not the brightest creatures on earth. When we were at this conference down in Portugal, one of the speakers at the conference, he was talking about sheep, and he showed a little video of a sheep who could not stand up. His wool had gotten so long, and it had rained, and the wool was so heavy that the sheep just laid there, couldn't get up. These shepherds went and tried to stand them up, and the thing kind of wobbled and stumbled, and it fell back down. It could not walk on its own because it could not shear itself. It could not groom itself. It could not dry itself. The shepherds had to do all of that for it to have enough strength to bear the weight of its wool. Well, that's what a shepherd does. It cares for its sheep because sheep just are not really capable of caring for themselves. Christ says, I'm the doorway for you. I'm the doorway to the sheepfold. And every one of us as sheep, we have to come to the great I am. We've got to come to Christ as that doorway to the sheepfold. Because God cares for you and wants to minister to you and wants to walk through life with you just as a shepherd does his sheep. As we come down, I want you to look at John chapter 10, verse 8 again with me. He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And you and I, we have to be aware that there are all kinds of false doors, aren't there? If you've ever gone through a fun house at the fair or at an amusement park, you come in and they have all these mirrored rooms and they have all these false doors. And you go up, you think you're going to walk into a room and actually it's just a wall. It's a mirror wall. You thought it was a door or a doorway, an entry, and it's really not. Well, that's exactly what the devil does to us in our lives. He puts up all these false doorways and we go to go into them and actually they're not at all access to joy or peace or contentment. They're not at all access to fulfillment, but they're all a mirror, smoke, a trick. And before long, we find ourselves in struggle and sorrow and addiction and difficulty. Jesus says, come unto me, I'll give you rest. He says, I'm the doorway. I am the way to find that peace. I am the way for you to find that satisfaction. I am the one who will care for you like a shepherd does its sheep. We are reminded over and over again through the Gospel of John that Christ as God cares for you and I. When we look again at John chapter 10, look with me if you would down at verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, he uses for him to say to you and I that, listen, if you will come to me, you will be saved. He's talking about saved from hell, saved for heaven. He's talking about the salvation that that the book of Romans talks about, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's talking to us about the simple gift of eternal life. And he says, if you will come to me, I will give you that gift. But he builds on that theme. He says, not only do you find salvation in me, he says, I will lead you into pasture. Now, for us who are not agriculturally based, you know, maybe you work in an office or you work in a factory and you're not every day going out to lead the animals to pasture. You know, it's a little hard for us to grab the concept of how important pasture is. I have a small hobby of raising a few beef cows, and this last week while I was gone away, those beef cows went for the big ride. We won't tell you what that is, but it's final, and when they come home, they come back in a different form. My grandkids haven't all figured that quite yet out. They just know the big ones go away, and all of a sudden, this baby's there. Great. They love it. But those cows, when the summer progresses and the grass gets shorter in my pasture, they keep pushing my fence because just on the other side is green pasture. Now, I give them hay, and I give them a little bit of grain to keep them friendly, and I make sure they always have plenty to eat. But they're always eyeballing that tall, lush field out there that's getting ready to be hayed. And you know, that's kind of like all of us. We look at life and the daily life we live, and we're kind of always looking over the fence at, is there something a little better over there? And Jesus says to us, wait, step back and find in me, find in Christ, that satisfaction to where he will lead us to the pastures we need to be in. Because not every pasture is good for you. Not every pasture is safe. Not every pasture has what you really need. But he says, I'll lead you there. I'll make sure that I take you to the pasture that is wholesome and healthy for you. You know, oftentimes folks look at Christians and they say, oh, you Christians, you can't do anything. Which is totally not true. I can do anything that's good for me, because that's what God has for me. But my Father loves me enough to not have me do those things that are bad for me. Isn't that what a loving parent is? I mean, you don't see loving parents sit down and give their kids Drano for breakfast, do they? No, of course not. It'd be deadly, wouldn't it? No, a good, loving parent probably gives their kids, you know, fresh squeezed orange juice, or maybe they go out back and milk the cow, give them fresh milk. You know, and they give them the best they can. Now, maybe that comes from Shaw's. We don't know. But loving parents give their kids the best they can, just like our Heavenly Father, just like the great I Am. He says, if you will come to me as the doorway, I will give you salvation, and I will lead you in the pastures of life. So don't ever listen to those folks who say to you, oh, you poor Christians, you can't do anything. Just dismiss that. They don't understand that when you have a Father who truly loves you, he's going to give you everything you need that's the best for you. As we go down through the book of John, we come to John chapter 14. Look with me over at John 14, verse 6. And here we find Christ talking about him, the great I Am, bringing and ushering into our lives truth. Listen to what he says in John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we understand what he's saying when he says, I am the way. He's the way to salvation. He's the way to the pastures that are good for us in our lives. He's the way to the bread of life. He is the way through a dark world to find light. But he builds upon that concept of being the way, and he says, I am the truth. The world seeks after truth. Continually, the world looks for a new philosophy, a new idea. Probably one of the greatest illustrations I could give to you of that is the public school system. Since I was a little boy, I have seen school systems change a myriad of different ways of teaching. When I was a little kid, when I first was in elementary school, phonetics was everything. I can remember going in and having them work with us with the little Dick and Jane books. I know some of you, that's like ancient history. It was actually on printed pages with real ink and everything. Dick and Jane, drawn pictures. But they would take us through, and I can remember as a kid having them teach us to sound out the most basic, simple words. But as the years went by, and I grew up and got married and had kids, then when my kids went to school, they completely abandoned phonetics for a time. And they went into a memorization system where kids didn't sound out every letter. It was an experiment. Well, unfortunately, it was a whole generation of kids who missed out on learning how to sound out every letter and every word. And now they've gone back to phonetics. And they're teaching them a mix of memorization and phonetics, and kids are learning, again, how to sound out those words. We're always searching and seeking for new truths. But Jesus here says, concerning spiritual things, he is the truth. You don't have to seek any more new truth. You don't have to go and search out Baha'i. You don't have to go and search out Allah. You don't have to go out and search out Buddha. He says, wait a minute. You don't have to look anymore. He says, I am the way and I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He wants us to understand that as God in the flesh, dying for your sins and mine, he is truth. We can give up the search. He has brought to us the reality of eternal life. But he did more than bring it to us. He bought and paid for it with his life. You see, most prophets, teachers, those who come and expound truth, they're willing to talk about it, but are they willing to die for it? Jesus died for it. Took upon himself the form of a man, was raised as a poor carpenter's son, all so that he could go to the cross for your sins and mine. And he says, I am truth. The search is over. You no longer have to go from continent to continent. You no longer have to climb to the top of a mountain and find some prophet who can reveal to you truth. You simply need to come to Jesus, for he is the truth. The last one I want you to look with me at is John chapter 15, verses 1 down through 5. And I want you to see that Christ is the spiritual sustenance that we need daily. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What Christ is saying to us is we find in him the sustenance of life and bearing the fruit of spiritual life. You know, the Bible teaches us as parents to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what that simply means is raise your children up to know the biblical principles of all that God has for them. But the difficulty is when we do that in our own strength, we struggle so at that. Because do you know what every parent in here is? A sinner. Now, you may be a sinner saved by grace, born again, or you may be yet still a sinner struggling with all the sins that beset you. But the reality is, every single one of us as a parent is a sinner. So within ourselves, we struggle to be the example of Christ. So Jesus says to us, wait a minute, step back. He says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you will let me flow through you, if you will let me, I will bear fruit through you. All of a sudden, you become the parent you should be by letting Christ live through you. Maybe on your job, maybe you own a business or you lead others and you struggle at being the example and the leader that you should be. You need to step back and let Christ do that through you. Because no matter who you are, whether you're a foreman or the CEO of a major world corporation, you're flawed by sin. But Christ wants to live through us that we might bear fruit, not our fruit, but His fruit through us. He says, I want to be the spiritual sustenance in your life. I want to help you raise your children to be children of God, strong, healthy, and well spiritually. I want to help you to be the kind of community person you should be, the kind of business leader you should be, the kind of employee you should be. I want to help you to be the kind of grandparent you should be, the kind of church member you should be, that you might bear the fruit of God in your life. You might say, well, why can't I do it on my own? Because you're flawed, and so am I. We all are. But Christ in us and through us can enable us to do that which honors God. So He offers to us. He says, I am the vine. Jesus wants us to come to Him, that we might be engrafted in Him as branches, that we might bear the fruit of God in our lives. There are many reasons why we need Christ. This is merely a short list that we find exclusively in the Gospel of John. But Christ wanted to make it ever so clear to us. So He laid upon John's heart and inspired him to write these words, that this gospel, unique from the other gospels, unique in that it clearly presents to us God in Christ, Christ as God, engaging in our lives. It's up to us. He gives every one of us the option, the choice. We can choose to let Him be an integral part of our lives, or we can just let Him be a little bit of our lives, or we can sideline Him altogether. And we can continue to fight and dig and struggle in ourselves. But Jesus says to us all, He is the great I am. And He wants to do great and wondrous things in our lives and through our lives if we will but just allow Him to do it. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of the service. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart,